Welcome to the Peaceful Power Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Clausen. And today I have Amrita Mahadeve on, and she's an Ayurvedic practitioner, health coach, author, and on a mission to empower women to wake up and go into birthing self-love through holistic health and self-care. For the past decade, Amrita has been a holistic chef in retreats and conscious eating coach, empowering individuals to make healthier choices. So welcome to the show this morning, or afternoon for you.
Yeah, great to meet you from Mallorca, Spain.
Yes, I love it. Well, I would love to kind of start. Anyone who's into Ayurveda or an Ayurvedic practitioner, I like to know, how did you first discover Ayurveda and how did it enter your life?
Yes, as a gentle whisper, it started from the age of like 20. I went to India with my dad to an ashram. And they have a clinic that was attached to the ashram, which was also about Ayurveda. And in my life, I've always been called to be of service through health and nutrition. And just seeing that work going around to the tribal people's homes in India, and seeing how herbs were used and how oils were used, it was pretty, I don't know, it was kind of like a remembering for me, because I was also brought up in an area of London where there was a large diaspora of Asian Indians, and it also was something that we had in our homes, were these, interesting smelling oils that my nan would have, and different herbs and spices. It was always kind of part of my life. And then when I came back to London, it just kept on coming into my life, kept on reappearing, like, the people that were coming to my studio, were either doing like, Kundalini yoga. They were all yoginis, and very close to me, a local like Whole Food shop. There was also a specialist in there that was Ayurveda trained, and she was, telling me my constitution. And so it was kind of like always just seeping through into my life.
Beautiful. Well, our topic today, I wanted to kind of dive into is the nervous system in Ayurveda. And so for anyone kind of listening, this is a topic that I haven't talked about a ton. And I'm really excited to, discuss this with you. And when I threw out the invite, I just kind of asked Amrita, what does she want to talk about? And she came back with the nervous system. And I'm like, well, this is totally kismet. Like, how did we both, I needed this topic and you want to talk about it. And so I want to start there, kind of high level for this one. Ayurveda and the nervous system. How does this work? I know you talk a lot about eating and nutrition, so I would love if you can incorporate some of that, maybe gut health, into this topic as well.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, let's dive right in. I mean, there's a proverb that says, the mind is more in the body than the body is more in the mind. And this describes the five senses, where we're seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting. So we explore the world around us, and therefore it informs the body with stimuli and motor responses. And this is carried by the Majja Dhatu. And that is one of the seven tissues spoken of in Ayurveda, which is the nerve tissue. And so this nerve tissue is greatly affected, as you said rightly, by the gut and our food. And also it impacts the signs and symptoms up into the brain, because the Majja Dhatu is connected to Pitta Sadaka, which is the gray matter of the brain. And so some of the symptoms that you kind of feel almost instantly when something is off with your gut and the brain is, confusion, brain fog, tingling of the nerves and the hands and the feet, confusion. And that's because the nerve tissue is intimately connected with the brain. And we know also from modern science that the gut and the brain are connected. So what we're eating directly impacts the way that we are seeing the world, perceiving the world, experiencing the world. And so it all really comes back to, are we nourishing ourselves with the foods that are going to be most beneficial for our digestion and for our body type?
I want to pull that thread a little and talk about digestion and, eating the foods that we can digest. And I feel like this is something that I talk about too in Ayurveda, and maybe people, miss that concept. But for us in Ayurveda, we're like, what we eat can be different depending on, hey, can you digest it? So can you talk a little bit about, maybe that, what does that look like? If someone's kind of like, I don't know if I'm actually digesting my food, how would they be able to tell, am I digesting quinoa? Am I digesting, this veggie?
So some of the signs and symptoms of when you have poor digestion are, the creation of amatoxins because the body's not breaking the food down. And that could be for a number of reasons. It might be that you're overeating the portion amount. It might mean that you're eating at the wrong time of the day. It might mean that you're drinking your drink at the wrong time in the digestive process. And so it's really about case per case, looking to see where exactly, you are going wrong in the process of digestion, because it is a really complex system that's beautifully broken down, I think, in Ayurveda, so that we can simply kind of see. And then, as we know in Ayurveda, we have the four types of digestive fire, the Agni, which can be either variable, it could be very sharp or hyper mobile, it could be very sluggish and slow, or it could be just, normal and fine. So understanding your type of digestive fire is really key to first of all finding out if you're digesting things correctly, if you're eating the right foods for your digestion, and then obviously, are you having burping? Is there gas? Is there bloating? What's your body telling you when you eat that certain food? Is it coming out in the stool, kind of undigested? These are some very kind of simple ways that we can just take a step back and tune in to listen to our bodies, which I think Ayurveda does so beautifully. It always turns us back to our awareness, of where we are and how we are at this moment in time.
And how does that relate? This is something that I've seen, and I know you talk a lot about menstrual health as well and perimenopause and menopause. What about digestion slowing around certain times of the month? I know that can be a complaint, like sometimes around ovulation or right before people bleed, they tend to have maybe slower bowel movements, but the rest of the month they're fine. Is that like an Apana Vayu issue, or what would that, kind of link to in your eyes?
Yeah, so that is all to do with the hormone that estrogen we need specifically when it comes to the cycle increasing at that time just before we receive our cycles. So there is a, as you know yourself, there's many protocols of just slowing down, eating very simple foods before your menstrual cycle, and really kind of, again, like not using your energy too much for the external, but kind of more going inwards, to take care of this body, to take care of this vessel, and allow those processes, the change of hormones, to really, take place. And it's just like literally, it changes for everyone, but 3 days before those first 3 days of your menstrual cycle, or it might be like a week before your menstrual cycle, just starting to notice that there's a change in digestion. Maybe there's additional bloating, and you can take teas that will help to enkindle your digestive fire so that you have an easier, digestive process. One of
Yes.
my favorites is the Ajwan tea at that time.
I don't know if I've ever had that one before.
Ajwan seeds.
I have some Ajwan seeds, and I don't know if I've ever had them besides in one of my recipes. So I'm gonna have to try that in a tea. I like that. Well, I want to know about, so as you're talking about that, like that can also relate to like the nervous system. And so when I see clients, sometimes they have trouble settling down. So there's often those people who, they can't slow down. They're just kind of maybe in the more vata nature of just like the speed up, speed up, speed up. They don't like that slowness and stillness. Or the pitta side where they like to be productive. They don't want to slow down because they just have so much to do. Would both of those things be related to nervous system imbalances? And how can maybe, in particular, like a vata and pitta maybe find their chill or calm during that stage?
Yes, completely, absolutely. This is the modern way, where I feel that we've lost our way, particularly. I feel like we've gone for that male domination, and we need to bring back more of the feminine qualities. And that doesn't mean that you're less productive. It just means that you notice the world around you and the beauty that you can create in the world from taking time for yourself to slow down and being creative, and I think that, certainly the clients that I work with, they are looking for that in their lives. They're looking for, rewiring their nervous system and learning new ways of being in this life. And I feel that, we're ready for it as women to notice our power in the slowing down, in the taking care of ourselves, in the nurturance of, our environments, and to bring in that feminine quality, because I think planet Earth needs that. We need that more than ever, so that we can feel something different,
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that can be such a great, medicine for so many of us, no matter your dosha type, of learning how to slow down. And are there any practices, if I'm thinking about like, I'm thinking of just even social media, it's so easy to be like, here's the quote tile. And this is where Ayurveda can be so hard to like put into social media because you can only, there's only so much you can explain in little, and I'm sure you probably juggle this too, of like, there's so much more I could say on this, and there's so many like, here's an asterisk because this might not pertain to you, even though the slide says it could, and all of those things. So if we're thinking about that, and what are some practices that people could do, to help calm the nervous system if they're maybe having fight or flight and they're constantly kind of in that fidgeting, I can't sit still, like I gotta go, I gotta move. How can maybe they calm their nervous system down a little?
Yeah, so it all comes down to, I think people seeing, if you're talking about like social media and Instagram, I think people that will see, my wall, they say things like, "Oh, I just love seeing your posts because they've slowed me down." It like makes me feel something different. And I'm not doing it intentionally. This is just how I live my life. And so, I think that when you're ready for that, then that kind of draws you in. And I think that There are so many practices that Ayurveda offers that really it's about trying them for yourself and seeing what you enjoy doing, what you can start to implement. And it could be something very simple, like walking in nature once a week. It could be planting some herbs in a herb garden on your window ledge. It could be doing some breath work and just sitting on your yoga mat and just doing a box breath where you're allowing yourself to slow down. It could be smelling essential oils that make you feel nice and relaxed and expansive, and then just allowing yourself to sit in that stillness, which I call a sacred pause. I just put a video up on my YouTube channel, which shares, ways that we can kind of change our nervous system from one state, the fight and flight, into the other state. And you can do it in seconds. Literally, it doesn't take long for you to be able to take a breath and calm down. Make yourself a tea, sit down, get your journal out. Follow a prompt. It's that simple. It's just about making it a priority. Why am I doing this in this time? And asking, who is it that I want to be in this moment? Do I want to be a nervous wreck? Or do I want to be the calm woman that just feels really focused and centered and anchored into my womb space where I feel grounded and in this loving core where I know who I am, or do I, want to feel chaotic and overwhelmed? It's a choice, and we get to make that choice at every moment. It's that kind of simple, really.
Well, if someone's listening and they're kind of thinking like, oh, maybe I've always battled anxiety and I'm always a bundle of stress. Do you think like these are some practices that would work for those people who might be listening and saying, one of my teachers, I guess, told me, and I'd be curious to see what you thought of this too, of, they said, whatever you tell yourself or stories you tell yourself. So like, I always have anxiety. That's what your body clings to. They just hears the anxiety and that further increases it. And I've kind of worked with some clients on this who, in workouts, like, and this is before I knew anything about Ayurveda, like she would swear at herself and be so negative to herself. And I said, your body's listening. Your body hears this. Like you're not going to get more out of yourself by putting yourself down so much. And so I ended up, said, I'm like, every time you do that, you're going to do five burpees for me when I was there in person. And so she actually said she did that on her own, and she did close to like 50 burpees. And that was her awakening in a sense to realize how negatively she spoke to herself in 1 hour. And so for her, that was her gateway to be like, I got to change because if I'm doing this during my workout, I'm probably doing it throughout my day. And so I'd be curious to hear what you thought about that too, of those stories that we maybe have on repeat and we tell ourselves. It really gets embedded in our body.
Absolutely. Really. Our body tells the story at the end as well. It's often, the cause of disease. It's like, doctors are discovering now that, it's the psychosomatic illnesses, where they're doing blood tests, nothing's showing up, in a patient, and they're asking why, I'm giving them this medication and it's not working. But actually the client has a really tough time. And I feel that that's where we come in as Ayurvedic practitioners. We're that bridge to spend time with the client and ask them, what's going on with you today? Like what's really at the heart of why you're feeling this way. And it could be family issues, the way that family upsets them, things that they just need to talk about. And so talk therapy is number one, a way to allow for someone to actually get that stuff out and have that ear to lean on. And that's kind of what we do in a lot of the sessions. I do either the moon sessions or the pod calls, because that's where we see the stumbling blocks, what's holding us back, what's keeping that energy stuck where we can't move forward. And although I'm not a therapist, I'm a transformational coach. So that helps me to bring people a little bit further on with, their self-image, their self-worth. Because often that is the very root of it. As you've said with your client, it's how we talk to ourselves, it's how we think about ourselves, it's the stories that we live in, the old stories that carry so much. And so Ayurveda says, these stories can go back 10 years. They stay in the body, they stay stuck in the tissues of the body. And so it's about rewriting those stories, living and choosing different activities throughout our day so that we can rewire new neural pathways that are more healthier for us, that carry the habits that show us that we care for our body, that bring us into this different state and different mode where we get to ask ourselves, who am I being right now? Where do I want to place my attention?
And if people are listening and they're thinking, social media is a big stumbling block for me, I love to kind of ask other Ayurvedic practitioners who do share on social media, how do you manage that and help maybe clients who really are starting to be like, I'm having a problem, like I'm getting sucked into that world, and my 5 minutes of scrolling is now 20 minutes, and they just have trouble shutting down, and then they leave feeling worse about themselves. Like, how do you personally navigate that and maybe work through people? Because I know that's just a big one in the reality of our world and where it is. And I've talked to other business owners and they're like, how can I find that balance of like, I need to show up because I got to show people, yep, lights are on, I'm in business, but then not get sucked into it myself, or then they get into their own feels. And I just love hearing, how do you deal with that yourself?
Yeah, I think my own personality is that I've always told myself the story is that I'm not addicted to anything. Nothing's gonna have an addiction over me. I'm the master of my own home here. And so I've always been able to kind of dabble in things but not get too sucked in. It's like, okay, that's enough, and just leave it. And I think it's like, coffee. Some people say, oh, it's bad for you, it's terrible for you, and other people just like, oh yeah, this is you've got antioxidants, it's great for me and it works for me. But the problem is with like any addiction, one cup is enough. One cup is all your body needs. But then it is when you go over that into an asapnia, meaning non-healthy relationship with that object of your attention, that you become, it becomes a ha an unhealthy habit. So we have to come back to what is nourishing. We have to come back to, one out of seven days I can do this. But then the rest of the days I'm going to give more attention to reading a book, listening to some music, going for a walk in nature, and finding that alternative, cooking a nourishing meal. These are the things that are the nourishing, the satmia type of activities that feel good at the end of the day, more so than, looking and scrolling. So it's the value that we put on the habits that we choose. And I think when you're aware of, when you've done your meditation and you feel fantastic afterwards, and you take a note of that and you celebrate the fact that, yes, I showed up on my mat and yes, I'm feeling great and I'm feeling ready for the day. When you notice how good you feel, that's how you can then do more of it and say, no, I'm going to put aside, more time for doing the things that make me feel great. And just a dabble of, the things that don't really leave me feeling fulfilled, basically, at the end of the activity.
Yes, that's great. And I wrote down the line that you said as, the value we put on the habits that we choose. I think that's such a great line. And I think that's something that if people can come back to over and over again, that's, hey, am I doing this? Is this the value I'm choosing? And, some days, yeah, this is what I need right now. And other days you're like, oh, actually, no, I probably should just go outside and, get some fresh air and some sunshine. So thank you for that. I want to know now, kind of shifting into, one last topic, kind of with the nervous system. And this is one that I would say since 2020, I've had more people reach out about sleep issues and insomnia and struggle falling asleep. I don't know if that's something that you've noticed, but I've talked to other people in the health field, and that's been a common complaint for many people. What are your suggestions? Let's start with, if people are having trouble falling asleep, we'll start with that one. Is there anything, hormonally that you notice going on, or is it more of, hey, our nervous system isn't settled, or maybe they've been on screens too much? What are some trends that you're seeing there?
Yeah, I can see that, and hear my clients in what you've just described for sure. There is this, almost tragic addiction that we have with social media, where, we're not realizing that there's anything out of that realm. And fortunately, I mean, I live right next to a beautiful forest, so really there's like no excuse for me not to find green spaces. But we all know the healing benefits from the Japanese study on green spaces and how important it is for us to see green throughout the day. So whether that's like trees or grassy meadows, it's important for us to be in that, I think it's like 10 hours of the week, but if you're not hitting at least half an hour a day of green spaces and green, being out in nature, then you're really missing out, because it makes you feel so recharged. It's all got that prana, the life force energy. And so I always recommend to my clients, get out there every day. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, gold star, and be in nature, because nature really is our healer. She is what makes us, we're not going out into nature. We are part of nature, and we're just bringing ourselves back into a state of being one with nature, which I think is essential. And I think anyone that's into Ayurveda, that's followed Ayurveda, that understands the five elements that are, we are all part of, the internet and social media, that's all the ether quality, but we also need the other quality. So when we have, been too much on a device, it's good to ground by either putting your feet on the floor, barefoot, bare feet walking, or hugging a tree, or like just actually touching something that is earthy. And if you don't have, a forest or green fields next to you, then you can do it also with foods that are also grounding. And this might be another reason. It's so interconnected. That's why I'm just kind of like chuckling to myself because, we're currently as a population, we're quite malnourished. We overeat a lot of food, but the nourishment within the food, this is also what's taking us away from that internal nature and feeling that one with that, internal nature. So it's about eating the right foods that are also going to be grounding and nourishing for us. Predominantly, sweet tastes is that grounding, nourishing quality. But when we're talking about sweets, we're talking about, honey, the maple syrups, the dates, the dried fruits, not a Snickers bar, let's say. We're talking about the whole foods, the real foods, that give us that grounding. More like my breakfast this morning. I'm currently on a cleanse, and so I had rice porridge with some almond milk, which was really just like lovely and grounding and nourishing for the body. But like eating the foods that are warm, that are not going to aggravate Vata dosha, is also going to help protect your nervous system. Not excessively drinking caffeine, because this also exacerbates any like nervousness and the difficulty with sleeping. And so, yeah, those things really, like focusing on the warm cooked foods for digestion, avoiding blue light, as we know, is also really important. And yeah, getting those nourishment, the nourishment that we need from our food.
I love those tips. And would that help with insomnia for those who maybe are getting up at 2 or 3 a.m. and having trouble falling back asleep?
Yeah, so that's often, perimenopause can kind of bring that on, where we get that like shoot of cortisol, and that also could be because we're working too late, and so you kind of like look at those things together, to see if they can shift and change, what's happening in the body then.
Yeah, and I'm as someone who hasn't slept through the night since gosh knows how long because of my 1-year-old who still doesn't sleep through the night. So I was like, oh, I am very used to getting up, but it is probably not fun. I mean, my body is adapted just because it's had to for the past year, but I am definitely looking forward to being able to sleep through the night again. And I will say it does take time because even the few nights that he has, like usually he gets up between 1 and 2. And it's so interesting just to see how, my body is so habitual because he has been for a year getting up between 1 and 2. So if he doesn't, he gets up at 3:30, well, I'm still up between by 2 a.m., because my body's like, oh, you've got to get up because your little one has been. And so I know for me, this is going to be a beast to try to get myself to get sleeping all the way through the night again, just because this has been so habitual for, getting up and nursing him and trying to get him back to sleep. And that I'm not looking forward to.
Oh, I know, mothers, we really don't get any credits for how much work we put in. We're 24/7, aren't we?
Yes.
But I also believe that a really good nighttime ritual, where you kind of like start winding down by the latest 8, no computers, you get your essential oils out, you go and have a bath, you go and have your like warm cup of milk, and you get yourself into bed by 9:30. The latest. I don't know what time you go to bed. Are you in early bed? Yeah, early to bed.
Yeah, I go to bed early just because, well, see, this is also where I like to be in bed typically by 9:30, but because he's been getting up usually between 10:30 and 11, I'll find myself like some nights I'm exhausted and I'll still get to bed, but other nights I'm like, well, it's close to 10, I might as well just stay up and read until he wakes up because I know he's going to wake up in the next half hour. So this is where my own habits just this past year, but I mean, and then I'm of the age where I'm close to perimenopause too. So all of these things, and I have a ton of clients about my age who are having babies, and just that cycle of like, how are we going to make this work, with little ones and with perimenopause approaching. So that's where it gets a little dicey. I will say, as I am recording this, we might have lost Amrita. So I am going to pause for just a second. All right, so we're back. All right, so I want to just kind of finish out by knowing where people can connect with you, and if people want to work with you, where can they find you?
Well, thanks, Andrea. It's been really lovely speaking to you. So you can find me on Instagram as Ayurveda Anytime. And I've also got a YouTube channel, which you can link to through the website, which is Ayurveda Anytime. And currently I am sharing an Ayurvedic self care and cookery course. So I'm going to share with you all the things like how to prepare yummy foods, with the remedies, like different herbal remedies. And yeah, just share with you some of the ways in which Ayurveda can help balance out your constitution with the use of herbs and spices.
I love it. Well, I just have one final question for you then. I always like to throw or end on a weekly challenge. What would you like that challenge to be for everyone this week?
I would love everyone to try to make a CCF tea. So this is the coriander, cumin, and fennel tea. And you add that 1 teaspoon of each of those spices to about 4 cups of water. You keep that in a flask and you sip that throughout the day so that you've got hydration and the herbs and spices that will help to stimulate your digestive fire, which also in turn reduces the amount of amatoxins
Ooh, I love it. Yay.
in
I enjoy CCFT, and I know Banyan Botanicals has, if someone doesn't like the just plain CCFT, Banyan Botanicals has a good, I think it's called a heart opening one that I like, or rose. They have three different
Okay.
varieties with a little extra, like one extra herb. So if anyone wants it with a little twist, you can always add it with a little, I think rose might be one of them. So
I've got
that's,
some here with some tulsi added into it. It tastes fantastic.
I love it. So there's, you can feel free to add your own little flair to it. So I love that.
Absolutely.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Amrita, and sharing your wisdom with us. I enjoyed our conversation today.
Yeah, it was wonderful to meet you and speak with you. Thank you so much, Andrea.
And everyone, go out there and spread your peaceful power.